2 Corinthians is not new because we already did that. The chapter is 11. When you start from verse 1.
Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused to you one husband, that I may present to you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Now here St. Paul is saying, I am giving you some kind of foolish talk. And if you remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, St. Paul was talking about getting some offering ready from the Corinthian church. Chapter 10, we studied some of the Corinthian church members were not happy or give offering. And they start asking so many questions to St. Paul, and he start replying to them. Now this chapter also continuing St. Paul that Church of Corinth did not believe the Paul's calling or Paul's ministry. And so they had some problems, and so Paul is trying to tell this church, let me talk to you a little bit foolishly. Because he's saying that some of the things I'm going to tell you, those things you will not even understand. Because it seems like foolish things to you. So he says, bear with me when I tell you some of the things. And what he's trying to say in the words too. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to the one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So now they never heard these things. They never heard that Jesus Christ is our husband, or he is our bridegroom, and we are his bride. This is the first time St. Paul is trying to explain to the church what is the relationship you have with Christ. So please read that verse too.
For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Okay, now St. Paul is saying, I am so jealous over you. What he's trying to say, he said, listen, I am trying to make you engage with Jesus Christ. And I want you to be chaste virgin, means pure and holy person to Christ. Now in the Old Testament, they already read, God Jehovah said to the Israeli people, you are my wife, but never said you are virgin or chaste virgin. Never said in the Old Testament. So now New Testament, St. Paul is saying, I am going to make you a virgin to Christ. That means I want your life to be holy and clean. Don't get mixed up with the worldly system. Don't carry it away to the whole world. I want you to be separated to God.
Yes.
And do you know many people do not understand when God is trying to make the church as a bride of Christ. Many churches today, what they're saying, oh, when Jesus Christ comes, we will be gone. Are you living a virgin life? Are you chaste virgin? Are you pure and holy? Ephesians chapter 5, I think verse 25 and 26, please read.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church,
and
gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
First of all, he says, I would like to let you know, husband and wife, what kind of relationship husband and wife have? Unity and love. If the husband and wife doesn't have a unity and love, that is not a real family. So he said, like husband and wife, they have intimate relationship with each other. The same way Christ has the intimate relationship with the church. So Christ is not going to have intimate friendship with the church if the church is backslidden. If the church is having another husband, in another way.
So to speak.
The church has to have one husband, and that husband is Christ. And he says, if you want one husband, that Christ who is pure and holy. So you want to join with a pure husband, then you have to live pure and holy life.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ is not coming for the backslidden church.
Amen.
He's not coming for the people calling themselves church and smoking and drinking and gambling and Amen. Beating their wives and living sinful life. Jesus Christ is not coming. They might be dreaming one day I'll be going, but they will be surprised. They will be left behind according to the scriptures.
Yes.
What he's saying, you should not have any spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Amen. Thank you,
God. That's the kind of church is coming. And if you're not that kind of church, I don't care what church you go to, I don't care what church you membership have, doesn't matter. You are individually a church of God. And you are a bride of Christ individually. And so you have to have relationship with Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, I have relationship with God. I talk to him, I pray with me, and I live any filthy life, still God loves me. That's all foolish. You will be listening to voices. Other day when I talked to somebody, said, I hear my voice as somebody talking to me. Is that God? No. You are living in sin. You can hear your voice, somebody's talking to you. Can be devil. You have to live a Christian life without a spot, without a wrinkle, and without any unholy thing, without a blemish. Let's go back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 2. So here he's saying, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. What he's trying to say, I do not want you to having another person in your life. I want you to have Jesus in your life. That's what he's trying to say. And now, as I said, many churches are thinking and confused that we are the body of Christ. And every church says, oh, we are the body of Christ. How do you become body of Christ? Jesus Christ washed you with his precious blood and he cleansed you to be his wife. And if you are not sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and you never receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you never turn your life to the world and come to Jesus Christ, you cannot be bride of Christ. In the Revelation, you read chapter 7, 144,000 are sealed. And you read Revelation chapter 14, 144,000 sealed. About this Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14. You know what they say? 144 in Revelation chapter 7. And 144 Revelation chapter 14 are the same people. Are they same? You might say, oh yes, number looks the same. But because the number looks the same, you cannot be deceived. Chapter 7, he says, they are taken, chosen from the 12 tribes of Israel. It's very clear.
Yeah.
Okay? Is that chapter 14 says the same thing? Let's go. Revelation chapter 14. I don't have time to compare with the 7 and 14, but I'm just jumping to 14. Go home and read the chapter 7 clearly, and then you would know what I'm trying to say is right. Revelation 14, start reading from verse 1.
And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount of Sinai, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads.
Where was the lamb? Lamb standing on the Mount Zion. It's not on worldly Jerusalem. He is standing in the Mount Zion. Those 144,000 in chapter 7, they were on earth and they were sealed. These people are in Mount Zion in heaven, and they were chosen and they had the Father's name written on their foreheads. Let's go to verse 2.
And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps.
Where are these people? On earth? No. This is in heaven. Okay, go ahead.
And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth.
Look at this thing. It says they were singing a song, and no one could understand their song. And they said they were redeemed from the earth. So where are they now? They are in heaven. How did they go to heaven? Because before the great tribulation came, church was taken up. And the bride of Christ was taken up to heaven. And 144,000 represent the church. Now the church is in heaven. And they are singing a song. They are praising God. And no one can understand their song. No one can understand them. Why so? Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him.
No man understands when you're speaking in tongue. Now, these people are in heaven singing the songs, and no one understands. If you read in this 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I don't have time because this is not my subject. Here St. Paul says, I will sing in the spirit, and I'll sing in ordinary way also. So you can have the unknown tongue song, and you can pray in unknown tongue. And the worldly person, or the person who do not have the gift of interpretation, will not understand what you say. So this is same thing happening in heaven. They are singing the song and no one understands. Go back to the Revelation chapter 14.
These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins.
Who are these people? These 144,000 singing the songs and praising God, and no one understands their language or song. Who are those people? These are they which are not defiled with a woman. Who is a woman? The world. The worldly system. The heathen gods. Or the heathen things what we're doing in this world.
That's right.
Doing all smoking, drinking, fighting, and doing womanizing. Whatever you do, that's called defiling yourself with a woman. Woman is the world system. Mm-hmm. And they are virgin. That's why St. Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2, you are chaste virgin. So chaste virgin were here before Jesus Christ took the church up. So let's come back now. And now let me finish this and then we go. They are virgin. These are they which follow the Lamb. Jesus Christ said to Peter, follow me.
Yes, sir.
When he said, I see John coming, what's going to happen to him? He said, don't worry about John. You follow me. And he said, you will be my disciples. Wherever the Lamb goes, the sheep has to follow. So here the Word of God is saying, wherever Lamb goes, they follow. Who are those people? The church. Church supposed to follow the Christ, not Antichrist, not the devil, not the world system. We follow Christ. And then he says, these were redeemed from among the men, being the first fruits unto God to the Lamb. Jesus Christ is risen as the first fruit. And so we got the same chance. We are also the first fruit of resurrection. We are going to be resurrected and we are going to follow the Lamb. 144,000 in the chapter 7 in Revelation, they are going to stay on earth. And read that chapter, he says to devil, do not touch them, do not harm them. Why they were sealed? Some of the people will say, oh, they were sealed to preach 144,000 preachers. They are not preachers. They were just taken from the ordinary tribes. They were not trained to be ministers. And they are not going to preach. Why they were sealed? They were sealed to preserve the Jewish nation. Only 144,000 and their children and their children's children will be preserved. And 1,000 years, this will be multiplied, will be the great Jewish nation who can follow the Lord, who can pray and worship the Lord. That's why they are preserved. And the word of God says, if those preachers and scholars saying 144,000 are preachers, then the word of God will be lying. The word of God says in those days there will be famine of the word of God. No preachers will be preaching. And you read in the Revelation, he says God sends angel to preach. Not this 144,000. Angels will be warning people. So don't get confused with the other doctrines and other teaching. Go to the Bible. So here we see we are the bride of Christ. We are singing the songs. We are praising God. We are redeemed from the world. We are not defiled with the woman. And that's the kind of church Jesus Christ is coming for. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2 again.
For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Now you got the message, what St. Paul is saying. Let's go verse 3.
But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Now he's saying, what happened in the Garden of Eden? Satan came and deceived the Eve. And that's the same way he's trying to say there are some people coming to church of Corinth or any church in the world bringing the wrong doctrine, the wrong teaching. So he's saying they are coming to teach you the wrong teaching. Don't follow in their trap because they were deceived. You should not be deceived. God has given anointed preachers, pastors and teachers to teach in the church, they should be called by God.
That's right.
Not any person goes to the college, Bible college, and comes with a degree and not even born again. They are not the called people. They just went themselves. They are not called by God. Go to the Ephesians chapter 4. Start reading from verse 14. Actually, start verse 11. Can share 11 to 14.
That's right. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
I am so fearful that somebody will come and try to deceive you with the wrong teaching.
That's right.
The winds of doctrine. I see some people come to the TV and radio and try to tell you, you know what? You are still have some problem, like a generation curse. Buy my tape.
Yes, sir.
Come to my convention. Give me some money, and I will take that curse away from you. Who is kidding?
That's true.
What the Word of God is saying. Once you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has redeemed you Amen. From the curse of the law. Amen. It doesn't happen first you get saved and then go to somebody to cast the curse out of my life. Doesn't work that way.
Sure.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 13.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a...
Jesus Christ took your curse, my curse, on the cross. And what he said, he has redeemed you from the curse of the law. You don't have to go to any convention to tell somebody, could you redeem me from the curse? Okay, buy my tape. I'm redeemed. The day I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, all the demons ran away. All the bad habits ran away. Nothing can stay in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are cleansed, sanctified, holy in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Father sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, hey, you never committed sin. You are righteousness of God. And your name is written in heaven. And you belong to me. That's what happens through the blood of Jesus Christ. He redeemed me from the drugs, but he could not redeem me from the cigarette. So he said, you can have it. No problem. The drug is bad. No, sir. Jesus Christ will not do the half work. He will do the full job.
Yes, sir.
He has redeemed me from all the cursed things. Not a single thing is attached to me because I belong to Christ. That's what St. Paul is saying. He says, now I have fear that you calling yourself Christians and allowing somebody to come to your church and give you some doctrine and some teaching, wrong teaching. Jesus Christ died for me. He shed his last drop of blood for me. I am not going to crucify Jesus Christ again and again and again. Enough is enough. I don't have to go to any convention and say, oh, could you redeem me? I have a curse. My family used to smoke and I smoke and my child is smoking and everybody smoke. Could you redeem me? Buy my book. So what I'm trying to say, Jesus Christ has redeemed you once and for all. When you spit on the ground, can you take it back in your mouth?
No.
No. Only one person does. Who is that? Dog. Dog vomits. And he eats. But we are not dogs. We are children of God. Once we quit something, don't take it back.
Amen.
Leave it there. Amen. Jesus Christ says, come to me, O heavy laden. And what? He says, cast your burden upon me. And I will what? Sustain you. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, God will take care of me. But St. Paul is saying, don't mingle with the wrong doctrine. Go back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
What is trying to say? There are churches which are churches not preaching the true word of God. They call them churches. I don't have to give their name, but I'll tell you something. One church says, Jehovah is the God. Jesus is not. Jesus is a God. And they come to house, knock your door, and say, we are Christians. We want to tell you about Bible. And they try to brainwash you to their religion. And trying to say our religion is the number one and your Bible is wrong. What the Bible said, don't open the door for them. Tell them, get out of here. Because you are deceivers, you are liars, and you are not living in truth. And their doctrine is mixed up. That's the kind of people. There is another denomination. They will tell you, Bible is not the only book. We need another book. And we go according to that book. I just led one man to full gospel 2-3 weeks ago. He was Mormon. He said, a Mormon religion start teaching me another book. And when I say, how about Bible? Don't worry about Bible. Study this. I said, get out of that church right now. And he's out.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say. All this mix-up doctrine comes and try to mix all these things and take you away from the truth. Why people do not preach the truth? Do you know? Because they are concerned about their belly.
Yes.
Money. If they say something, people may leave the church.
Yeah, true. Amen.
I'm not worried about how many leaving the church. I am worried about how many following Christ.
Yes, sir.
I want people to follow Christ. Jesus Christ did not say, we have to have 3,000 people sitting in one place, then I will come in their midst. Did he say that?
No.
He said, 2 or 3.
Yes, sir.
Gather together in my name. What he wants? Unity. Togetherness. Holiness. He says, 2 of you agree. Right? Agree. Touching anything, I will hear your prayer. And the word of God says, how can you walk together if you are not agree? If somebody doesn't agree with me in the word of God, I do not have friendship with that person.
That's true.
There are pastors in Philadelphia. They call me, come and preach in our church. I don't go to the pastor who smokes. I told you, if that pastor calls me again, no way. I don't have to have fellowship with those kind of people. Word of God says, if 2 or 3 gather together in my name, in what? Unity, love, togetherness, and one mind and one accord. Then I'll come and do the miracles. Somebody says, I prayed this many years and nothing happening. Why not? Because you're going on the surface. There is a cancer. We have to take the root out. You cannot put the bandages. It's a very simple. Somebody says, come and pray for my husband, or come and pray for somebody. Oh, go. Lord, heal that person and go away. You don't tell that person he's living in sin or what kind of life he's living. Call that kind of minister. When I go and somebody says, this man is going to die within a 1.5 hour, I go and talk to that person. Sir, are you going to live for Christ? Or you want to die? If you live for Christ, repent. Give your life to God. You're going to live. Like a dead man on their bed, got up and walked and start doing the Lord's work. Amen. That's the kind of ministry I like.
Amen.
I don't go there and thank you. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. God bless you, sir. Bye-bye. I don't do that.
No way.
Somebody told me to let's go to church to pray for a Baptist minister's or deacon's wife. She's very sick. I said, okay, let's go. While I'm going, he said, Pastor Peter, you know what? These people are Baptists. They are against Holy Spirit. They are against tongue. Please don't tell them about Holy Spirit and tongue. I said, sir, if I'm not telling anything about the power of God and the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God, I'm not going to that house. Don't take me. He said, oh, I'm sorry. Let's go. So when I went there, the husband sitting in the sofa and lady said, I said, come on, sister. I talked to her about God and start speaking in tongue, rebuking that sickness
yes,
and
sir.
Disease. And that lady filled with the Holy Spirit and she starts speaking in tongue.
Amen.
And then this pastor, and then he comes out and says, Pastor Peter, I'm sorry. I told you not to say anything. I said, sir, I'm not called by man. I'm called by God.
That's right.
I don't listen to people when they say negative things. I listen to God. My ministry is pleasing God, not pleasing people. Because of that, God does miracles. So point I'm making, there are people are there to confuse you and make you go to hell. The churches are preparing people to go to hell. And they are not even knowing it.
Yes, true.
Preaching the wrong doctrine. Go to the book of Galatians chapter 1. Start reading from verse 6 to 9.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
See? He says you heard the gospel and now you change your mind. Why? Because somebody came and pervert the gospel, pervert the teaching of God, and you went away. Okay, go ahead.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
What he's trying to say? Don't worry. Even the angel comes and start giving you the wrong teaching, don't listen to that angel. That angel should be cursed. So what is trying to say? And another thing said, once I teach you something and tomorrow I change my mind and say, you know what? I told you Jesus is the answer and Jesus is the healer, but I found out Jesus doesn't heal today. What St. Paul said? Even though I come and preach you the wrong thing, yeah, I will be cursed. Wow. What I'm trying to say? We have to preach the truth. He said, if I come and preach another gospel, or angel comes and preach another gospel, they should be cursed. Read one more verse, sir.
As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Again, he said, let me remind you again. If anybody comes and preaches another gospel, that person should be cursed. God has called us to preach the full gospel. Not half, not three quarters, full. Whatever the Bible says, you preach. And that's what the Word of God is saying. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting from verse 5. Now you're going to finish soon. Okay, go ahead.
For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service.
And he said, robbing is a bad thing. But he should have said, or the translation should have said, I took a help from other churches, they gave the money, and I used that money to help you people.
Yeah, that's right.
So what he's trying to say, I did not rob you, I robbed other churches. I didn't ask you to give me money, I took money from another churches.
Yes, that's right.
And helped you. That's what he's trying to say. We are talking about building project. Did I rob you, give me $1,000 to the building project? No. Go to another churches. They will tell you, give your whole month's salary for the church building fund. Or sign up with the dotted line, $1,000 I give you. He said, I don't have $1,000. I don't care what you do. Take a loan, do whatever, and everybody has to give $1,000. I didn't do it. And I'm not going to do it. Why I'm saying this? He said, other people help me and I help you. Same way I'm saying. God is going to supply my need, and one of these days I'm going to say, people, here is the key to the new building. Let's go and open the door. And that's coming very soon. Coming this time very soon. So what I'm trying to say, St. Paul is saying, I preach the gospel freely. Did I preach the gospel freely to you yet?
Yes.
Yes, sir. If you don't know, my heart knows. I'm preaching freely. Like St. Paul saying. Okay, go ahead. Start with verse 9.
And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. That which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself.
What he's trying to say. He said, when I came to your church, it's Corinthian church he's talking about. And I had need. What need? You might be needing a jacket.
Yes, sir.
You might be needing shoes. You might be needing some good food and nutrition. But he didn't tell the Corinthian church, you know, here I'm 2-3 years working with you, and you did not buy me car. You did not buy me suit. You did not buy me this. Last week or so, one brother came and said, Pastor Peter, I have to buy a suit. Give me your measurement. I said, sir, don't buy me suit. The suit, I put a down payment to the building. They will not take it. I need money for the down payment, not a suit. So St. Paul says, I had the need. I didn't tell you. What did he do? He started praying. Lord, send my need. So he said that the church from Macedonia came to know Pastor Paul needs a shirt. His shirt is torn. His shoes are worn. I'm going to help him. So they sent help from Macedonia to Corinth. So he said, I was there freely preaching. You didn't take care of me, but the people came from Macedonia and supply my need. Same thing. Did I come to any church member and say, you know, my birthday is coming, and I need this and this. You heard in many preachers, my 50th birthday, everybody starts saying $50. My 70th birthday, everybody starts saving $70. What are you buying? I want this and I want that on my birthday. And the wife will come and say, oh, my husband does this and that, and this is his this birthday. Please send this, and we will send you a book, or we'll send you some this or that. And people start sending money. Did my wife come to you and selling this birthday, my husband needs this, let's gather money and give it to him? No. So what I'm trying to say, my needs are come from God.
Amen.
And St. Paul is saying, I prayed to God, my needs were there, but the Macedonian church came and helped me. So I was not burdened to you. Verse 10.
As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia.
Now what he's trying to say? He say, I'm boasting. What is boasting? God supplies my need. I don't have any lacking. I'm a good preacher. I don't preach the wrong message. Seems like boasting. But he says, I'm doing this not only Corinthian church. I'm doing in whole Asia. None pastor like me, St. Paul is saying. In whole Asia, go and find out who works without money. Not a single pastor in Asia you will find. I can start boasting like that. Find a preacher in America who doesn't take a money and salary. And tell me that all the pastors are fighting for the money. Every year they will fight with the church board. Raise my money, otherwise I'm going to leave the church and go to another church. St. Paul says, I am bragging this, I'm boasting these things, not in one place. Whole Asia knows. Paul is not beggar. Okay, go ahead.
Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
He's saying there are some people taking the form of godly preachers, but they are false apostles. They are not taking care of the sheep. They are taking care of what? Their belly. Their belly is their God. Their money is their motive. I'm talking about me, just like St. Paul. My motive is not how much money I can make.
Sure.
When I start from India, and one 75-year-old man called me, he had 5,000 members church, an independent church. He called me for 3 days revival meeting in a church. And when I did first day, he said, Pastor Peter, I heard you are going to America. I said, yes, sir. He said, don't go. I said, why not? I will give you $5,000 a week. And I will hand over this church to you. I'm 75. Within 5 years, I'll be dead. And all these 5,000 members are yours. And I don't need too much evening service. I can get $2,000. That I'll keep. $5,000 I give it to you. I said, sir, I'm not going to America to make money. I'm going to America to preach the gospel around the world. If I was money hungry, I would be staying there. But I said, no, sir, I want to go to America. When I came here, another temptation. Some professor calls me, says, sir, there is a church. They need a pastor. $40,000 a salary, plus the house. I don't know, they were going to give me a car. Only preaching, Sunday, 1 hour of 45 minutes, and Wednesday Bible study, and you get whole thing. I didn't have the house. We were living in an apartment. I should have said, wow, I get a full house, single house with a $40,000, and in 1960s, that money today is like a $200,000 to $300,000. I said, no, sir, I did not come to America to make money. I came here to preach the truth and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Time is running. Okay, let's go finish this.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work.
The devil takes the form of the angel of light. So no wonder some of the ministers,
yes,
trying to be holy, trying to be nice, but indirectly, they are living for their belly. And their destruction is coming for sure, he says. Okay, go ahead.
I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, and the confidence of boast. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also.
Some people come, they take your money, they preach the foolish gospel. Not only that, they can punch you on your face, and you take it gladly. But I'm preaching the truth, and I'm a bad guy. All other people, they are good. He's trying to say, you do not understand my calling.
True.
Go ahead. Verse 22.
Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft.
Oh boy.
Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep.
My Lord.
In journeyings often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren.
The false brethren. He said, I got all kinds of problems, but the worst problem is the false brethren.
True.
Somebody comes to your church and try to betray you and try to destroy you. That's much more worse than the heathen person punches you on your face. That's what he's trying to say. Okay. Verse 27.
In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
What is he trying to say? Most of things I hear, all this beating, and all these sleepless nights, and all kinds of trouble, I could not care at all. What is his worry? He says, I worry about the churches and their growth. How the churches are doing. Why I'm suffering this, going one place to another place to another place. Edifying the churches. And that's what I worried more, that someone should not come and deceive my church members. He's saying, I worry about my church members. And that's what St. Paul is saying. I should be concerned about my churches. Okay, go ahead.
who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus the king kept the city of the Damascenes with the garrison, desirous to apprehend. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hand.
So he wants to tell thousands something happened to him. But he says, thank God. God protected me. He got all the problems. And when I'm living in this world, and when we read about the St. Paul, I get encouragement.
Yeah,
I said, thank God.
Right.
I did not have this much problem yet, but the St. Paul went through. All his members and the followers and other people treat him like a trash. But he said, I don't care. I am following Christ. I'm boasting a little bit, but I'm boasting the true things. I'm also a Jewish man. I'm also a preacher. I'm also called. And he says, I'm more than other people. And he is thanking God for deliverance. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. And you have given us example of St. Paul. How he did the ministry, not looking at people, but looking at Jesus Christ. And how you supply his needs, all of his needs. That's why he could say, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, give us that boldness to preach the gospel, the true gospel, the full gospel of Jesus Christ, and not to compromise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.